For the first 3 weeks of Advent, the church had us focus on the second coming of Christ because of the reality that if we're focused on the second coming, which means ultimately acknowledging the reality that we are going to die, and that Christ in the second coming does not return as Redeemer, he returns only as Judge. And therefore, there's no more opportunity for grace, no more opportunity for forgiveness, no more opportunity for mercy, only just judgment. Based on how we respond to the life of grace and how we live in obedience of faith. And so it makes sense that the church now, as we go in to the final week of Advent, and this, the fourth week, but beginning on December the 17th, Advent shifts its focus to the birth of the Savior. Because now that we've concentrated on the reality that he comes only as judge, and that would also include when we stand from the judgment seat of Christ as individuals when we die, it would, in theory, if we're paying attention to ourselves and are humble enough to admit it, make us want the Messiah even more, recognize our desperate need for the Messiah, the Redeemer. The life of grace begins with the Nativity of our Lord. The life of grace indeed worked through Our Lady Mary Most Holy, the Visitation, but for all the world it begins with the Nativity, as represented by the shepherds, who would be representative of the Jews, and then later the three wise men, who would be representative of the Gentiles, that Christ came to save all humanity, not just the Jews, but nonetheless manifested to others, and not just to St. John the Baptist in the womb and St. Elizabeth. And so therefore, we recognize as Catholics that it's a life of grace that it's all about. Too many Catholics don't appreciate that because of the reality of people flowing more and more into materialism and paying less and less attention to the reality of their spiritual lives, their souls. It is grace that allows us to overcome concupiscence. Concupiscence is that which is left over after our baptism when original sin is washed away. Concupiscence is that, philosophically, it's seeking the lesser goods over the greatest good, which is God. Realistically, it is a bend towards sin, a bend towards disobedience. We make other things more important than God, even things that are good, which is why that first commandment is often broken without people even realizing it. You should have no other gods before me. You may not be doing something overtly passionately sinful, but when you make something more important than God, you have broken the very first commandment. And so it's easy for us to do that because of concupiscence. It's easy for us to be self-obsessed. It's easy for us to be prideful. And as a result, then, we need the grace. If, of course, we recognize that our souls desperately need to be supported by grace because our souls are immortal. And it's that immortal soul that goes to the judgment seat of Christ at death. And it's that immortal soul that is judged by Christ as whether or not it actually participated in the life of grace, or it made the material world, the world around it, more important than itself. In other words, it had no right relationship with God, no right relationship with prayer, no right relationship with the sacraments, but it simply existed and coasted through the world, the body dragging the soul to worldly pleasures, worldly concerns, worldly obsessions, when it's supposed to be the soul that is dragging the body to Christ, the soul that is seeking out Christ above all else. And that, of course, as a Catholic, manifests itself in the Mass itself with regards to the soul. The soul requires of the body these positions in order to show that God is God, standing, sitting, kneeling. It is the outward indication of the disposition of the soul. The soul right now is supposed to be disposed to listening to instruction and a willing obedience to the instruction given by the Gospels and by St. Paul and by the Old Testament. And the soul drags the body up to stand in honoring God, and the soul drags the body down to kneel as God comes to us through the miracle of the altar. And that's part and parcel with regards to the whole reality of the Mass being the center of our lives, which the Church reminds us by virtue of this very week. Because every time we're at Mass, as you know, we are at the foot of the cross, the representation of the one true sacrifice. But again, every time we celebrate the High Feast, we're also present to the mystery that is being communicated by the High Feast. Christmas is Christ's Mass. So therefore, at Christmas, during the Mass, we're actually sacramentally present to the Nativity itself. And all the graces that our Lord poured out at his birth for the shepherds, given to us only if we are disposed to them. That is to say, only if we want them. Most people don't. That is why there are so many people who live the Catholic life, receive communion every week, some every day, and they don't change at all. And they want to blame God for that. No, God gave us free will. If we don't cooperate with grace, grace builds on nature, it requires our free will. If we don't cooperate with it, it does nothing. It lies dormant. Grace perfects nature, the Church teaches. And if you're cooperating with grace, you can be perfected. But only if you're not letting your body drag your soul, but your soul drag your body. Your body will always drag your soul to the worst situations. Sensualism, entertainments, fun, impulse, selfishness, pride, all the things that we're supposed to be rid of. St. John Chrysostom says, when John the Baptist speaks about the reality of making way for Christ, the hills and the mountains and hills being leveled and the valleys being filled, John Chrysostom says, the mountains, that represents our pride, the hills represents our vanity, and the valleys represent our love for human respect, that we are only interested in what the world says and does, and we're more interested in pleasing those we love and our friends, our family, even a complete stranger, rather than pleasing God. These are the things that John the Baptist says they're necessary to be done away with as the Messiah comes. And we put that in the forefront of our minds then, because this is one of those years we have the full week of the fourth week of Advent in order to put everything in place. And therefore, Christmas Day itself should be not just another holiday, not just another opportunity for some undertaking. It should be deliberate in the fact that we are present to the birth of Christ, and we should live the day out with that understanding. This is a day for manifold graces that will come first and foremost through your presence at the Mass, and then through the remainder of the day where Christ is the center of the day, Christ is the center of attention, by virtue of even the family being present around the tree with a nativity set. And even the activities that go with Christmas can be Christocentric, centered on Christ if we make it so. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of doing what the world says and doing all the things that distract us from the Christ, all these activities and functions. No, it cannot be that way with us if we wish our souls to have dominance over our bodies. And that's the whole point of the life of grace. Then no longer are we afraid of the world. No longer are we trying to get along with the world. No longer are we trying to hide from evil, but we're willing to combat it with good in accord with what our Lord calls us to, a life of faith, which definitely, if it is true life of faith, produces good works. All of this then, all of this Advent season has been about reconfiguring ourselves to the Christ. And every year our Lord gives us the opportunity to do it. As the beginning of the church year always begins with Advent. So as you are getting ready to participate in the Mass of the Nativity, the Mass of Christ, Christmas, bear in mind that it's not simply about you coming here to have warm, fuzzy feelings about Christmas music, warm, fuzzy feelings about nativity sets and Christmas trees. It is really about you receiving grace, manifold grace, being present to the birth of Christ. And the only way you are going to be interested in doing that is if you acknowledge you need the Redeemer, which means you have to do exactly what John the Baptist has been telling us in the very beginning. Repent, repent, repent. And then be prepared for the actual baptism of Christ, which all of us have received. And so when indeed we acknowledge our own sins, we acknowledge our desperate need for the Savior, and then he becomes the center, because without him we are nothing, and without him we can do nothing. But only if we have our lives, our priorities straight. Otherwise, I guarantee you, on Christmas Day, Jesus Christ will take a back seat to everything else you're doing if you do not know how desperately you need him. You have a week to come to terms with the reality that our Lord does expect perfection from us. John the Baptist is correct. The mountains and the hills must be leveled. The valleys must be filled. The way for Christ and his grace to come to us must have no impediment by virtue of sin, which obviously includes the common practice of making God the least important reality of our lives. Instead, let us place him first. as we see him in his fullness in God the Son, beginning in his infancy and leading to the reality of what the infancy is all about, his suffering and death on the cross, which is what charges and strengthens every sacrament and should charge and strengthen our very lives, making us love him above all else because of what he has done for us by being born into humanity. He condescends, and by dying on the cross, he shows us how much the Father desires our salvation, how much God loves us, and how we should love him in return. Too often we don't, but if we want the grace to do so from this point on, Christmas, the Feast of Nativity, begins the process of our indeed putting God first in our lives because of our reception of grace, which, again, lies dormant if we do not want it. Let it not lie dormant. Let us seek it desperately. Let us be mindful of what Christmas is about, the Mass of Christ, the reception of manifold graces that changes everything and makes us people who have souls dragging our bodies to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.